Dear Lord, we come before you this evening, conscious of our many weaknesses and failings, but wanting to come to give you worship. We come this evening just a smallish group, recognising that some of our own members are missing, and Lord, we pray for them wherever they might be. We ask as we come to this Lord's table, that it might be something very special to us, something which is personal to each, and yet corporate for all of us. We pray as we come that you might reveal to us once again Jesus, life and death and resurrection. We ask in his name. Amen. Just a few quick thoughts on a bit of the chapter that we often don't look at too much. If you've got the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul starts off at the beginning of the chapter talking about our favourite subject of meat coverings. And moving on from there into verse 17. This must have been an incredible church. Two books written to them. And a church that was so full of problems that you'd almost think yourself grateful not to be there, really. Corinthian church had been commended in verse 2. Paul said, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions, just as I delivered them to you." But then in verse 17, the notes change. He comes now in these instructions, "I do not praise you, since you come together for the better, not for the better, but for the worse." It was a church that was split in pieces from all sorts of things. A bit like a school report they get from Paul. Good at that, not so good at that, could do better. So they're very good in public worship, but about the Lord's Supper, they weren't good at all. What was wrong? Not saying it's anything to do with this church, but it's something we guard against. We've been through times of trouble. And this church here, at the time when they came to the Lord's Supper, came with all sorts of problems. They got personality cults, some part followed after one person, some followed after another. They had differences over food that had been offered to idols. There was a lot of snobbishness. There were the rich people, there were the poor people. They basically didn't mix. Their worship was negative and not very enhancing. They even had problems over theological debates, and not too sure we do. We have thrown open questions and we don't really want to answer. But they had this problem. Paul, who was a master theologian, actually says to them, it's not important that you have every bit of your theology 100% perfectly debated. You need to know the facts, you need to know the basics. But if that's all you've got, and there's no practice of it, then you're at fault. Everyone in this church seemed to be more concerned about themselves than other people. And there was no sense of being a family together. And if there's something that this celebration is about, really is a family feast. So why was it special? Paul wasn't just bringing up his own thoughts. If you look at what he says when he institutes the Lord's Supper here to the Corinthians, he says, this is what Christ said. So you go back to the upper room, and you listen to what Christ had said when he was there on that last night before he was crucified. If you'd been a Jew at this time, it would be quite surprising, a bit strange when you hear this, because as a Jew, you've been used to breaking the bread, you've been used to having the wine, especially at the time of Passover. This would have been something pretty special to you. So the words that Paul uses, which are Jesus' words, which are different, and those words that he says were sort of shattering words, something very strange. Go put yourself, a bit like Minister said this morning, in their place. What did he say? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Take yourself back to that upper room. What was he doing? He was sitting there with his friends, 12 friends who he'd known for 3 years, and he was talking to them about this supper. And he was saying, do this in remembrance of me. Well, you tend to only remember when something has gone past. We look back on this and go, he was looking forward to that time when he was going to be back with his Father in heaven. But this time, this was something that was really shattering for them. What did it mean in remembrance of me? It was a special feast. But it's not just looking back, it's also looking forward. There were two reasons for this feast, really. One was the public proclamation of his death. And you say, is that important? Well, it is, because there are still people who didn't really like it. If he did, don't really care about it. But also a continuing of doing this until he returns again. And that's something we come to celebrate. Who was the feast for? Well, we know that there's the verse which said, examining yourself, but in particular, take it wider. So it was about family. This was about Jews, and it was about Gentiles. It was about the rich, it was about the poor, it was about educated, it was about literate people, it was about men, it was about women. This was Jesus bringing together all people in a way that no one else possibly could. And that really is Christianity. You look at the churches in the Middle East where Arabs and Jews meet together, and then you look at the news and they can't stand beside each other. This really is something that's earth-shattering. It's about a family feast. It's about all coming together with the same need to worship God, to talk of his son as being dead, resurrected, and returning again. So as we come, let's just think about why we're coming. It's to be together as a family. It's to represent ourselves before God and to thank him for the death, but also look forward to the resurrection. You know, we thank you that there will be a time when forever and ever we'll be able to glorify the King. Lord, we thank you for that this meal will not be forever. There will come a time when Jesus will return again. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we say, come, Lord Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen. Amen.